Is it owner optional? Is it founder optional? Is optional the right word?
We're looking at how do you hire your second in command?
On your retention before the deal, not during. Like, how do you retain those people? Hello, and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. If you tune into this podcast, you know that Revenue Rocket is the world's premier M&A advisor to IT services companies. With me today are my partners, Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Mike. Great to be here. Happy 250th birthday, America. I mean, that's great. And Ryan, you just reminded us that we sailed past our 250th episode of the Shoot the Moon podcast. And I'm not sure that we threw quite the fireworks display that they did in Washington, but still a good achievement in and of itself. And we're off to a new series, huh, Ryan?
Yeah, we are, and thank you both, Mike and Matt. Not often does a firm get to have leaders within the company really talk about what they see in the business, and we've gotten a lot of really positive feedback on this podcast, and thank you for everyone who listens to this as well. To your point, we're over 200, and I think this is 257 is what we're recording here today, and all available on our website, and it's something that we would take a lot of pride in and really enjoy giving our knowledge back to the people that we serve who are IT services leaders in the guise and lens of IT services firms. We're going to kick off a new masterclass series here. The last one we did was kind of looking at what it takes to sell your firm. Now, part of that of going through a transaction really has to do with the leadership teams that are in place. And a core leader, and if I'm talking to you as a CEO or a founder or a chairman today, you've got just one of the most important jobs. You have made, you're the leader and a visionary. You're the person who drives the company forward. You're the person who oftentimes runs sales. You're the person who just is the heartbeat over the organization. However, when you think it through the context of a transition, one of the first thing buyers look to talk about is, what's the rest of the team look like? What is life beyond you? What is an opportunity for the company to grow beside you and beyond just where you're at today? And I'm going to throw something out more controversial, but, you know, is there an option for an owner optional firm here? Hey, where's the founder and CEO sit within that? So, you know, owners spend years making themselves indispensable. And when you get, when it comes time to sell, you can almost be discounted from that. So we're going to look through a series of what does that mean to get beyond that one person in the tent and look at, you know, why it matters to have something beyond and bigger. So, Mike, I'd love to hear you to get us going. You know, when everything runs through an owner, what does it actually cost them? Like, if you look at how valuation changes in a deal when everything is owner-dependent or CEO-dependent?
Yeah, wow, it's a great question, Ryan. I mean, it creates a risk, right? Owner dependency creates risk for a buyer. Just like a lot of business in a single account creates risk for a buyer. You know, if a buyer decides to leave post-transaction or gets a health thing or is, you know, hit by a bus, the infamous bus, that creates risk for when everything runs through the owner. You know, buyers price in a version of concentration risk and concentration and process around an owner who is too heavily involved with the day-to-day operation of the business. I often say that, you know, owners need to really work their way out of a job if they're going to be preparing to exit the business or even preparing to do a recap and sell in where they're going to do a more strategic role and maybe a less tactical role in the business. And that dependency caps the multiple, right? It creates a level of downward pressure on valuation when, a business is overly dependent on the owner.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. If you have that critical role and someone underneath you doesn't quite have that same knowledge, buyers recognize that. And Matt, I mean, how do you tell when you're talking to an owner and you're having the first time conversation and walking through that? How do you spot an owner dependent firm even in the first conversation?
Yeah, sure. And let's, if I could, let's frame, is there ever an optionality to have a leader, one leader within the firm, like a CEO and president? No, that's not optional, right? There needs to be a leader. So certain aspects of the owner, founder, CEO optional are, really kind of not optional, but they're replaceable, right? I think that when we start having discussions with owners and CEOs, we start to look for how they have led the business to scale. So that, right, while their leadership is critical, as it would be for any growing firm, the role is critical, but has the foundation been built that an owner is replaceable? Replaceable either from somebody stepping up within the organization, right, and taking on that role of CEO, or replaceable from the outside. And so we start to look at a variety of factors, right? The leadership team underneath them, the background and experience and maturity of that leadership team, their operating model, right? So, as an organization scales, so and decision making is being distributed, you really important to have an operating model that allows for visibility across functions and across the leadership team overall, but then also visibility to the CEO himself. So he's able to weigh in and track, the progress of an organization. So, those are a couple of factors that I think we look at. The case for the non-optional is that, really, really critical functions are still being managed by or done by that CEO. And without that CEO and his tribal knowledge of the of what's being done and how it's being done and et cetera, business will suffer, right? And suffer quickly. So there's kind of expansion of the sort of this whole concept.
All right, and to your point, leaders could tend to step up in certain areas. Two areas that we've oftentimes see leaders step up on are sales, or really three. Sales is one. Two would be kind of delivery. How do you execute that? And then in our world, when technology is such a core element here, we also have that third leg, which is I think the technology-driven founder, who may not have that same sales prowess, but comes together with the ability to execute within the technology, the ecosystems that they're in. And if I start to peel that back a little bit and look at those layers, and focus on sales, that oftentimes what happens, We call CEOs the one percenter sales. Mike, I think I first heard that from you, is that only 1% of people can really sell like a CEO. Can you help explain that? And B, what happens if you're not able to transfer some of that sales knowledge to someone else?
Again, good question, Ryan. Generally in most founder-led businesses, the founder was the first salesperson. They were also the first operations person, first accountant, first delivery person, first every person, because there was only one of them. And by virtue of that, oftentimes they have the most sales experience in that particular enterprise, because they were the first one, right? And so they've had a lot of practice. If they've been able to scale the business, they likely have been able to do that by being adaptive and smart and being a lifelong learner and all that stuff. And oftentimes they're still the best salesperson, even later on after they've built a sales organization. Now, it doesn't mean that they haven't been able, hopefully, to build a very successful sales organization that's built on process and people and some technology, right? Built on a proven sales process with great salespeople, with packaged offerings that allow them to kind of get it out of the founder's head and be in a position to, sell the firm's capabilities to the right clients and have good product market fit. It assumes a lot of things that you need to be able to scale the business, and certainly being able to do that's important. They need to hire before they hit the ceiling. Owners often hit a sales ceiling because they're still doing a lot. They need to be, as I mentioned, process specific. They've got to get out of every deal, right? Really hard thing for founders to do, by the way, is to get out of every deal, especially if they've been in every deal up to that point. And I think it, helps them shift. And really move to a place where, the business can scale without them. And they move more from what I would be working in the business to working on the business in a strategic function as a sales coach to the sales team. And if you're really, focused on being able to have that business operate with less of you or none of you, then you need to be able to do that, to be able to be out of every deal, but be, active as instead of a player and moving to a player coach, really moving into more of a full coach model if you've been the first salesperson in the business and still the best salesperson in the business.
I think you've got a great point. The ability to tie everything together and craft that story into something that is actually saleable. We see this a ton. I tell you, almost every firm we deal with, there's the scenario comes up. There's such passion, and when that founder comes, and that translates so well to sales and having that right team underneath. I think we're gonna spend some time digging into that in this master class. But sales is not the only thing that needs additional leadership behind that. Matt, what's beyond sale, what's a minimum leadership layer that a firm should have before a firm an owner can step back a little bit?
Yeah. Well, Mike, I think talked about a couple more of them, but certainly financials. I think that it's really important that it is demonstrated that there's at least the beginning of a financial organization. So somebody beyond the owner has really got a grasp on the financials, including forecasts, past trends, reasons for increases or decreases to key metrics, the understanding and establishment of key metrics, and then just the consistent the consistent closing of month after month after month, right? That is, I think, a real demonstration of maturity. You know, using the term that you use, delivery, or you know, both there's the internal operational delivery of the business and the external service delivery of the service, and you know, even if it's a product and service scenario, you know, somebody that's really managing that in a smaller firm, that you know, sometimes certainly can be a combined role. Over time, as scale is achieved, you typically see those things start to be, you know, separated out. And then to, you know, your point as well, if it's if we're talking about a high complexity technical service, then you know, sure, you know, most firms have a CTO in place, but really, what's the ongoing breadth and knowledge of that, you know, high technical skill? I think those are, you know, those are kind of the first ones that sort of come to mind. But you know, maybe to just think about it holistically, it's like, what are the most important aspects that enable continued growth of the business? And are there, you know, strong leaders that have the responsibility and then also decision making, right, authority to make sure that those aspects of the business are being well led, well managed, well thought of, you know, continuing to grow and evolve and expand.
Right. And if you think about the people that are in these roles, they start to become really critical to the overall transition of a business. When someone goes through an acquisition, finance typically starts to, they have got a really defined role in that moment. And sometimes, frankly, they may not make it through a transaction. You know, you've got all sorts of other process leaders that are in there that maybe trying to figure out what's next if there is a transaction going on. If I start to think about the core people, Matt, that you just mentioned of who we have to keep to help build a firm or help build a firm that's beyond just the CEO or that core leadership team, Mike, how do you start to de-risk that situation of people? Like, how do you ensure that the right people are going to be able to stay on through a transition, and how do you keep those best people?
Well, you know, I think it's important to note that, you know, all deals need to line up culturally, strategically, and financially, right? You guys, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you've heard me say that a lot. Certainly, customer care and employee care philosophies, with an emphasis on employee care philosophies, need to be aligned here, right? And the crown jewels of your team need to stay, right? They have a lot of intellectual property pursuant to your operating model and your business. And I think it's contingent upon you as an owner to create an environment where they can prosper. And that's not just, you know, a job with a new entity. That involves probably some incentives around keeping those assets happy and healthy and incented to be there for the long term. Oftentimes those involve structural things in a deal, right? And betting on the team, right? So, you know, you need to plan on your retention before the deal, not during. Like, how do you retain those people? You know, for some people that's, you know, built around some sort of retention bonus or some sort of equity participation program or some sort of incentive, as well as, you know, bringing them into the tent at the right time, pursuant to the transaction, and making sure they're part of the plan. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about when is the right time to bring people into that tent. Depends a lot on their role, frankly. Senior leadership oftentimes will be involved well before a transaction. Others may be more shortly before, but you really want to be able to deliver a high performing team. That's what the buyer is buying. And so that needs a lot of planning and thinking and modeling and intent prior to the transaction in order to make that be successful. And I think, you know, you have to have alignment with the new leadership in order to construct that program and make sure that continuity is key.
Right. And there's financial models that can help here. I think you mentioned a few employee equity plans. There's retention type bonuses. I think as we walk through this masterclass and series, those are some of the things we'll start to uncover. And getting through this is I think really, really critical. You know, since it's a first start, we're going to keep this one relatively short. But I would love to, Mike and Matt, if you could just tell me one thing an owner could do this quarter to help them be less dependent, or help the business be just less dependent on them. You know, what would that be? Matt, why don't you get us going?
You know, we did this a lot, and it's, I think, the most helpful thing that we had done was to have somebody from outside the organization, you know, sort of do a review of the overall, you know, sort of leadership team management. You know, it can be done there are various methods to do so. It can be done in the form of leadership team communication and the methods related to that and so on and so forth. But I think it's, you know, getting a objective and independent, you know, sort of expert-based view on succession and the potential for, you know, succession within the organization. You know, we did it a lot in as a means of sort of assessing where we were good, bad, or indifferent in our methods and with people. And I think that'd be an interesting, you know, way to start. If that's sort of too much, then, you know, sort of as an owner, think about these critical roles and more than the role itself is really the function that it's providing. And, you know, what is your level of sort of trust, and how much are you able to really push down decision making so that you are engaged appropriately as things might be elevated, but you're not really involved in everything. Just a couple of thoughts.
Yeah, Mike, over to you.
Yeah, I think the one thing is trust your team, and trust your team enough to let them make mistakes. I think that's a critical factor, and because people learn from those, right? You'll learn from those mistakes. They'll learn from those mistakes. We all make mistakes, and I think it's a really interesting learning lesson for the founder of that business. Tells a lot. It's a big tell about where you may need to either support through better process in the business as you kind of push down decision making, and or have better systems, or maybe even better people. Just depends on kind of the outcomes of those mistakes. So that's my two cents on that one, Ryan.
Sure. My advice, go take a break. Take 2 weeks off and see what happens. I think part of this is that owners, when you run the business and you're really in depth and deep into it, you may not know just the impact that you're having. And I think there's an opportunity that if you could take a bit of a break, let's say just literally 2 weeks off, that gives you it gives you enough credible evidence of where you might need to add. And I think that time away could also be help you reflect on a situation. If you're listening to this discussion, you've gotten this far, this might be something on your mind, and you've got to look at how do I make this more real? And by extracting yourself from the business, watching what runs and what doesn't, I think gives you a really good opportunity to really look at what's next. So that's what I would do. This has been a helpful conversation. Where we're taking this master class is what's next? If you're hit by a bus, what happens? So how do you get the business out of your head? We're looking at how do you hire your second in command if that's not in place. That's another kind of got where that we're taking this. We're looking at how you can run the business, run or kind of knowing what the business runs like without you as well. So if you take those 2 weeks off, what might that look like? And then also, how do you actually let go without losing the business in general? So I mean, some of this is as you as a founder, you're going to struggle with what's life without your business. And I think that's much more than just running a business. That's a personal decision that really matters. So, Matt, Mike, I'm really excited for this masterclass and where we're going to be able to take it. And again, thank you so much for your participation today. With that, Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Sounds great, Ryan. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Ryan. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. Hope you tune in next time as we move on to the next version or the next course in the masterclass of how to work your way out of a job. With that, make it a great week.